Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to One in Messiah on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday morning. And this is One in Messiah, where we teach the plan of salvation through the entirety of Scripture. So I hope you've had an awesome week, and I hope you're having an awesome Lord's Day so far. If you're not familiar with One in Messiah, this is what's usually known as a one new man ministry. We teach the Hebrew roots of the faith to the church and to show that the entirety of Scripture is important to study and not just the New Testament. If you'd like to join us live, if you live here in the Cleveland area, we meet every Friday evening at 709 Brook Park Road, which is Calvary Chapel of Cleveland Church, 709 Brook Park Road. We start about 6:30 to 6:40, more or less. So don't ever worry about being late, but pop in and say hello. I'd love to meet you. And we have a nice group of people that come every Friday, and I think you would enjoy it. The teachings from Friday night are live streamed on my Facebook page. And then they also appear on my YouTube channel after a couple of days or so. And my YouTube channel is One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries. One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries. So search for that on YouTube.com. And you'll find about 600 or 700 YouTube teachings there. That's enough advertising for now, because there's a lot of stuff to tell you about podcasts and websites. But I always take up too much time, and then it takes a while to do the lesson. And today, I want to get to it today, because this is almost certainly, it is going to be a two-part lesson. I might as well just say that right off the bat. And the text we're going to take is from John's Gospel, from John chapter 10. And when I say chapter 10, you should immediately know that this is going to be about the Good Shepherd. And if you don't know that, please read. We're going to read parts of it, but please, please, please read John chapter 10 several times, because it's important to get into the Word and get the Word into you and not just hear somebody talk about it. So I'm going to read the first six verses, and then we're going to go into a little discussion type thing. So John 10, verse 1. Now, at the end of chapter 9, Jesus has had a, sort of discussion debate with the Pharisees after he healed the blind man. And there was a whole, I don't want to do all of chapter 9, but there's this whole thing about how at the end of chapter 9, he says to them, "You say we see, and so your sin remains." And this, of course, is not something that Pharisees want to hear. Pharisees are the set apart ones. They feel they're the holy ones. They feel that they keep the law, but nobody else keeps the law. And so telling them that they don't see and telling them that they have sin, they generally don't take that real well, as you can imagine. So in verse 1, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Now, isn't that interesting? They don't understand what he speaks to them. You know, we've gone through the scripture that says, where Jesus says to them, why don't you understand my words? Why don't you understand my speech? And he says, you don't understand my speech because the word is not in you. And if the word is not in you, you won't understand what I'm saying. And that doesn't just apply to them. That applies to everyone. That applies to believers, whether they're believers in the first century or the 21st century. You have to have the word in you to understand what Jesus is talking about. You have to know the Old Testament. You have to know the Gospels. And subsequently, you have to know the letters. And I like to say that if you only study the New Testament, number one, you miss 2/3 of the scripture. And number two, it's like coming into a movie that's 2/3 over and saying, well, what's going on here? Because you can't understand the full impact of what Messiah is doing. So here, John points out, they didn't understand what he was saying. So it emphasizes what he had said earlier, that they didn't understand his speech because his word, capital W, was not in them. And he uses, interestingly, he uses the metaphor of sheep. This is used many times in the scriptures. The idea of sheep, the idea of shepherds, is used many times. Sheep are not very intelligent. They have no defenses. They can't run. They won't stand in water that's moving. And when you study Psalm 23, and you probably know Psalm 23 by heart, it has all these factors in it, which are common to sheep. They only drink from still water. They have no balance. They have no defenses. They can't run. And so when an enemy comes, when a wolf comes, they're pretty much at the mercy of the wolf if the shepherd is not there protecting them. The other thing about sheep, not only do they need to be fed, they need to be watered, they need to be protected, is that they wander off looking for whatever grass they can eat, even if it's going toward a dangerous place. Sheep are known to fall off of the edge of a cliff if they see some grass there that they want to eat. And they tend to go all over the place. They tend to go in any direction they feel like going. And so Isaiah points out, we'd all gone astray like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus in several of the Gospels, Matthew 9 comes to mind, he says, he looked out over the people and felt sad because they were like sheep without a shepherd. There was no one guiding them. There was no one protecting them. There was no one making sure that they were fed, that they were watered, that they were protected from their enemies. The religious leaders were supposed to be doing this. The religious leaders of the church are supposed to be doing this. Again, whether it's the first century or the 21st century, the Bible makes it clear that people are like sheep and they will go astray and they need to be protected from their enemies. In our time, we've let the enemy into the church. We've taken the watchman down from the walls and we've opened the gates and we've said to the barbarians, everybody can come on in now. And Jesus here is making the point that there are bad shepherds. There are false shepherds. In this case, the Pharisees were the shepherds. And I'm sure you know that our word pastor is the Latin word for shepherd. They're not called pastors just because it's an interesting word. It means they're the shepherd. And so the Pharisees were their shepherds. And they knew this. They knew they had this authority. In fact, in this situation, they felt they had authority and he didn't. And this was another thing they couldn't wrap their brains around because they had inflated their position so high that they couldn't imagine that someone other than someone in their group could have the authority to teach, could have the authority to understand scripture. It was beyond them. And here is this man from Galilee, of all places, which they looked down on. People from Galilee were uneducated. They all were working people. The Pharisees called them the common people. They called them the people of the land. And they didn't mean that complimentary. They meant that as an insult. So here was this man from Galilee. Never mind that he was born in Bethlehem like Micah, the prophet, foretold. Here was this man from Galilee with this simple group of men walking around the city teaching, walking around Galilee teaching, and they felt he had no authority. Now, Jesus is talking to them, but there, of course, people are listening. You know, all the parables you see, there are common people that are listening, and there are the religious people who are muttering or are critical, or they come right out and interrupt him. You see that so many times. While he's teaching, they interrupt him because, number one, they don't want him to teach. Number two, they don't feel he has the authority to teach. And number three is they don't want the people around them to hear him teaching because they are the teachers. And this, of course, goes on from then until the present time. But we're not going to get into that because I want to stick with the lesson here. But Jesus teaches using examples that people know, that people understand. People knew about livestock. They knew about sheep. They knew what shepherds did. They knew what a shepherd had to do in order to protect a flock of sheep. This is their natural surroundings, just like we would have an idea what a teacher does in a school. We would have an idea what a computer programmer, computer engineer is doing in an office. We understand what a welder is doing in a factory. They understood what a shepherd's job was. So he uses this example. And he starts with amen, amen. Now, the translation I just read didn't have that. Most translations say amen, amen. Or most assuredly. And you have to keep in mind, and this is part of the mission of One in Messiah, the word amen is a Hebrew word, amen, which means truth. This is true. What I just said is true. Amen isn't a signal that the prayer is over. It isn't a signal that, okay, I said all this and now I'm done talking. Amen means what I just said, what we just recited, we believe to be true. We have our faith in this. It is true. It is what we believe. And I swear that this is true. And in the Hebrew culture of the time, when something is repeated, amen, amen, it means it's very important to listen to what I'm saying because I'm going to tell you something that is a powerful truth. When you called somebody's name, when Moses is at the burning bush, and God says, Moses, Moses. That means, listen, I'm going to tell you something really important. When Jesus says, Martha, Martha, that means, Martha, listen, I'm going to tell you something really important. When he says, amen, amen, he's saying, most assuredly, I'm going to tell you a very powerful truth. So he says there's only one way to get into the sheepfold, and that's a place that's enclosed where the sheep are generally kept overnight. It's fenced in, so to speak. There's only one way to get in, and that's through the door. And only someone who's qualified, only someone who has the authority, can go in through that door. Now, false people, thieves, false leaders, try to come in a different way, not through the door. They try to jump over the fence. They try to sneak under the fence or whatever it is. But it's an unlawful or a deceitful way. They don't come through the door. Only the one with authority comes through the true door. And Jesus says, indirectly but directly, I'm the one who has the authority, and I go in the door. He comes to do something good for the sheep. He's going to feed them. He's going to care for them. He's going to help them if they're injured. He's going to protect them from enemies. Because a sheep, as I indicated before, really can't live very well without a shepherd taking care of them, without a person taking care of them. That's just the nature of how sheep are. And this is why throughout the whole scripture, people are compared to sheep. And people who take care of sheep have good training in order to take care of people. So for example, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. He takes the metaphor to the ultimate degree, taking care of sheep. And he says, my sheep know my voice. They hear me and they know that it's me. He calls them by name because they are his. There's so many places in scripture where it says, I've called you by name. God says, I have your names written on the palms of my hands. They know, the shepherd knows that these are his sheep, and says he leads them out. He leads them out. He doesn't drive them out. He doesn't herd them out. He doesn't force them out of the sheepfold. He doesn't hit them with the crook and say, come on, let's go. He leads them out, and they follow him. They follow the shepherd because they know his voice. So he leads them to a pasture. If they're truly his sheep, they won't listen to a stranger. In fact, they'll flee from a stranger because they're used to the shepherd's voice. So what is he saying here? The sheep that are in the sheepfold represents, at that time, Israel, the chosen people. In the New Testament time, it represents the church. Wolves want to get into the church. False teachers want to get into the church. And so only one has the authority to go into the door. You know, last week we talked about on Yom Kippur, the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. He can only go once a year. He's the only one who can go. No one else can go in. Jesus says, I'm the only one who's authorized to go through the door. I'm the only one that the sheep know my voice, and I'm the only one that can lead the sheep out. So it's a matter of authority. So he's going to take them to a good pasture. He's going to take them out into a place where there's nourishment, where there's water, where they can be fed, and they can lie down in rich pastures, as Psalm 23 says. A sheep will not lie down until it is totally full, has eaten all that it can eat, is completely satisfied, and it's the only time a sheep will lie down. But David, who was also a shepherd and knew a lot about sheep, Jesus wasn't a shepherd in the sense of his occupation, but he certainly was a shepherd because he knew human nature. I always love the fact that the writer to the Hebrews says that we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. We have a high priest who knows us. We have a high priest who knows us by name. We have a high priest who knows how weak we are. We have a high priest that knows what we're going to do, doesn't want us to do it, but he knows that we're going to do it. And he sympathizes with our weaknesses because we're frail, we're defective, we're not righteous in ourselves. And so the shepherd's going to take them to pasture, going to take them to water. In fact, even in the prophet Ezekiel writes, I think it's in chapter 34, I will feed my flock, I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. In other words, I'm going to so satisfy my sheep, I'm going to so satisfy my followers that they're going to lie down. They're going to lie down beside still waters. Why do they want to lie down beside still waters? Because sheep don't like moving water. They have terrible balance. They won't stand in, they won't stand and drink if the water's moving. So they're perfectly fed. They lie down in green pastures. Green, of course, means they have plenty to eat. They're lying beside still waters. They've had plenty of water. And the shepherd is overlooking the whole scene to protect them from enemies. This is what a pastor is supposed to do. This is what the leader of the church is supposed to do. This is what the Pharisees were supposed to be doing. But they didn't understand. He goes on, also in Ezekiel says, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of the pasture. So he says, Israel is like a flock of sheep. But this is a messianic passage where he's saying, I'm going to gather them together. They're going to be like the sheep of a fold. Of the fold, and they're going to be in a rich pasture land. That's not Ezekiel. That's Micah chapter 2. I'm sorry. I got carried away from the Ezekiel before. That's Micah chapter 2. That's around verse 12 or so. So again, God uses through the prophet the idea of flock of sheep that need to be taken care of. You know, Jesus and also refers to wolves in sheep's clothing that are among the sheep, that find their way in among the sheep. And someone once said, the only thing worse than a wolf in sheep's clothing is a wolf in shepherd's clothing. Because they can divert the whole flock. They can lead a whole flock into destruction. So he says, the sheep know them. The sheep should know their shepherd, their pastor, and the leader should know their sheep. And they shouldn't be following strangers. The church has to know that the leader speaks for Jesus, that the leader has been appointed to lead this flock. And that should be the key to recognize their voice, his voice. And he's always ready to explain what his teachings mean. But considering that time is ticking away and I only have seconds left, we're going to have to pick this up next week. Because in verse 7, he's going to explain how that teaching applies to him personally. That he is the one who's been sent. He is the one with authority. He is the only one that can go through the door and lead the sheep and do these things that I just mentioned. Oh, I know the music's playing already. Well, I didn't get very far, but thanks for listening, and tune in next week, and we will go on with part two of The Shepherd. Isaac and Abraham, an altar without a lamb, a covenant ring, a hand raised in faith that God Himself would provide. The previous program was sponsored by One in Messiah.